joy today to spend the day with you. I'm glad to see all things that are accomplished this day. And I believe the congregation is in much better hands for the future than it's been in the past, even though it's been good in the past. Thank you very much for all that you've done to make the congregation what it is. Today I want to continue our thoughts on a very important topic, how to establish Bible authority. The best book in the world you can own is the Bible. The second best thing you can do with that book is learn how to interpret it. If we do not know how to interpret the Bible, we're more easily misled. May I invite your attention to the book of Hebrews, the 5th chapter, the last 3 verses of that chapter. In Hebrews, the 5th chapter, the Apostle Paul had a sense of irritation to me in reading these 3 verses. Now maybe you don't see that, but I do. Every time I read it, I just feel out of Paul a little bit irritated with the Hebrew Christians. Here's what it said. Hebrews 5, again, verse 12. For when for the time come ye ought to be teachers, ye have need who will teach you again, or teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracle of God. And have become such as have need of milk, and now a strong meat. I want to pause here. Paul said, brethren, listen. You ought to be teaching others. But instead of you teaching others, you've got need for someone to teach you. And not only teach you, but teach you the first principles of the oracles of God. And then verse 13, he said, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are full age, who even by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. What is more important than being able to discern good and evil? The more we know about the Word of God, how to establish Bible authority, how to understand the Bible, we're able to discern good and evil. Now you know certain things that are evil. You know certain things that are good. But between those 2 points of an area, sometimes people want to call them gray areas, but you stay away from gray areas. But they have an area in here that people sometimes say, well, I don't really know. When you know the Bible, you can discern both good and evil. I've challenged people for many years, and I've challenged myself for many years, to be a student of God's Word. I pray, God, today that everyone in this building, young and old alike, will read and study the Bible more than any other book on the planet. Now, I know that's a challenge, because sometimes your jobs demand you spend a lot of time in the books. Sometimes your education demands you spend time in the book, whatever your subject matter may be. But listen, if this book, that would be open to death judgment. If this book, we would be judged by. If this book, that helps us discern both good and evil. There's nothing more important than reading and studying the book inspired of the Holy Spirit from the Almighty God. So I encourage you today, in order to establish Bible authority, get well acquainted with this book. In Matthew, the 21st chapter, verses 23 to 27, the chief priests and the elders of the day, they came tempted, intending to try to get Jesus to contradict himself. And they came to Jesus and they said, the baptism of John, where did it come from? Did it come from heaven or did it come from men? Well, Jesus said, well, I'll tell you boys what I'll do. I'll answer your question if you'll answer mine. The baptism of John, where did it come from? Man, from what? From man or from heaven? Chief priests and elders go back over the corner and they have themselves a little huddle. He's done it to us again. Just as soon as we say, from heaven, he can say, why do you obey? If we should say from men, he's going to say, that's not right. And the question we're supposed to pose to him, on one time a week. Why, and all this? You know what I love to do? I love to say, well, I'll be glad to answer your question. But would you go with me to Matthew 21, 23 to 27? Let's read that verse. And usually they'll do it. I've never had an option. So we'll go over to Matthew 21 and we'll take a good look at that. And I said, would you mind reading that? I've never had one turn it down. And they take off reading that. And they say, oh, okay. I go, so therefore, let me ask a question. You ask me about baptism. You ask me about the Lord's Supper. You ask me about singing in the church. By what authority do I do what I do? Who gave me that authority? Is it from heaven or is it from men? Those four questions are dynamic questions from the Bible to ask anybody on any Bible subject. I'm not hesitant to ask the question, but I want them to see the authority we have from God's Word comes from the Bible. And it's real easy to give a book, chapter, verse on what we believe and why we believe it in singing, in prayers, in teaching, in communion, in contribution, in church government, in your everyday Christian life, by what authority? Who gave you that authority? From heaven or from men? I said, well, I really appreciate the questioning. I may have taken a passage of Scripture and gone with them, but let me ask you this. Why do you only communion once a year? Why do you not baptize people ever? But maybe you get a group together and you have a baptismal service once or twice a year. Why do you do whatever I want to ask? And then when they take a good look at Matthew 21, 23 to 27, they can't find any reason behind that. Let me tell you why. Many people are confused today. Many people will challenge you today about baptism. And I face this a lot with television program, and people say, but y'all make it sound like it's so important. I go, it is. Let me ask you something. If you thought of something during the night, say midnight, and you said, oh, I should have done that. How often do you get up and go out and do it? They go, well, it's really important. I'll do it right away. I said, you know what? That's what they did on baptism. That's how important baptism was. The Philippian jailer, Acts the 16th chapter, all of a sudden he realized, this is God's will, God's way, and I want to do God's word. And the Bible said the same hour of the night, being midnight, he went out and he was baptized. You know why he did that? Because it was important. Dear friends, today we've got to establish how to establish God's authority and make people feel like there's a sense of urgency about obeying the gospel. They've got to realize within themselves the value, the importance of doing that. And you can never get away from the importance of it. It irritates me that the denomination of the world today has just totally taken aside the importance of baptism. A while back I read a debate. Now, Bill Ferguson and myself, we both go at debates, and he got a whole lot more than I do, and he sells books. But I got a few. I've got 150, 175. He probably had another 50 or 100. But I love reading debates. I read the debate between this man who believed in baptism for the remission of sin and this man who really discounts baptism. Maybe it's a good idea, but if you don't do it, don't worry about it. Well, this first man got up and proposed Mark 16:16, Matthew 28:19. I mean, he laid it down, and he laid it down good. While we've been in baptism, he went through the cases of conversion. He showed charts on the board. He did a great job presenting the biblical teaching of baptism. The next thing he gives up said, all those baptism of the Holy Spirit, none of them, baptism of water, and he just slid them all off into the garbage can and said, none of that applies today. I said, that is so sad. Because he's got an audience of people that's going to believe it. He didn't have faith that's going to accept his will has been the right way, and he didn't give one verse to prove that. Of course, the gentleman who believed in baptism, we come back to it. Wait a minute. The Bible says they went down into the water and baptized him. And Jesus came up out of the water on and on and began to show. We're talking about water baptism, and he's talking about some other baptism. Well, tell you something. You don't always have the opportunity within a two-hour setting to have that type of a discussion. We have got to be equipped, men and women, on a private basis, to be able to open up the Word of God and teach people what they must do to be saved, what they must do to stay saved. We've got to open up the Word of God and establish the right and the wrong, because then we can get people's attention. When people ask you why you believe what you believe, don't go say, well, I think this. Because really, who cares what you think? Who cares what I think? You can say, the Bible said over here, book chapter verse. Oh, well, the Bible said that other thing said a lot more than I think this or I think that. Dear friends, today we've got to put the credit where credit belongs to God's word. Right here, these people were up to no good in Matthew 21, but Jesus came out shining bright. And they were showed up. They were not honest. In Proverbs 3 and 5, Solomon, who's known to be one of the wisest men that ever lived, Solomon wrote the following. He said, trust in the Lord. Do not lean to your own understanding. How could that be any more clearer than that? It's not what I think that makes anything right or wrong. It's not what you think that makes it right or wrong. We've got to be equipped with the Word of God. I'm working and challenging those who were willing to be challenged at home to get a hold of the Bible and to know what they believe, why they believe it, work with them on establishing things according to the Word of God. I said, the first thing you can do is get acquainted to it by reading it. Proverbs 16:25 very similar to Proverbs 3 and 5. It says, there is a way that seems right in man, but the end is the way of death. How many times do you ever hear so? Well, it just doesn't seem like to me that there's anything wrong with that. That sounds like Proverbs 16:25. There's a way that seems right to me. Oh, it doesn't seem like there's anything wrong with that. The Bible says there's a way that seems right to man, but the end is the way of death. So therefore, what seems right to you that you cannot prove by book, chapter, verse, and Bible is guilty. Stay away from it. You stand on thus saith the Lord. And we're learning to establish Bible authority. We learned this morning by command, example, necessary effort. We learned about specific and generic authority. We learned how silence is prohibited. We gave a series of verses. Now we learn to establish Bible authority. What's for heaven, what's for men. And we find out if it's for man, it's the way of death. In John 8, chapter verse 31 to 32, Jesus was speaking to the group of people and said, if you are my disciples, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. If we are his disciples, we will know the truth, because we read and studied the Bible. I am an avid believer in reading the Bible, New Testament especially, regularly. Regularly. You know what? This is not written on the board. Acts 17 and verse 11. But you can add that to your notes. The Bible says, search the scriptures daily. Whether these things are so. How many think it said daily? Just a good idea? Just something that you want to do, you could, but you don't have to, you don't want to. Search the scriptures daily, regularly, to make sure these things are so. You are my friend. I am your friend. Let me tell you why. Whenever a brother teaches you from this pulpit at 21st Street in Oklahoma City or anywhere else, and everybody here, everybody who's present should search the scriptures daily to make sure those things are so. It is your responsibility to do that. Sure, your elders would do that. They would check it out, and they would want to know. There's been more times than one that I've had to get back up and say, you know, one thing was said, and I just want to clarify it. I try to be diplomatic about it, but I don't want to gather all
think maybe that was right. And I said, you know, a comment was made about this, and this is important. And I'm not putting words in anybody else's mouth, but I want to explain what I said about the teaching. And try to be very diplomatic about it just 2 weeks ago. If I can remember the number, but I'm sure I can. Surprise myself. Page 120. There's some guy that got one brother, Greg Sullivan, very careful about what he leads. But he got on page 120. And 120 just, all of a sudden, first verse, all verses went great together. And in verse, when we got a second verse in 120, it said, I received his payment freely the day that I believed. It looked like letters about this big to me. I thought, wait a minute. And I reread it. I received his payment. This is Jesus died at the cross. I received his payment daily, freely. I received his payment freely the day I believed. So in the process of my sermon, I mentioned that. I said, you know, a lot of people talk about poetic license. And this lesson is not about poetic license, although at times I sometimes wonder, does poetic license have anything to do with singing music to God? I tell you what, it's just as wrong to sing a lie as it is to tell a lie. I'll be very honest with you. I don't know that you ever control that. And maybe, I said this Sunday, born in a church, maybe he believed on that day, and then he went out and baptized for the remission of sin later that day. I wouldn't give that credit, maybe, but you know what? He didn't mention that. He just said basically that he was saved that day by believing. But let me tell you what. It scares me when we sing songs that are not biblical and not scriptural. Again, I want to say, it's just wrong to sing a lie than it's to tell a lie. So I received his payment freely the day that I believed. The complete payment in us accepting his will. We believe and then we are baptized. We believe and repent, believe and profess, and believe and baptize. So I got up and made that as a point of the lesson that we need to make sure we don't leave the wrong impression. For example, what would happen if I got up here to preach? And I said, I want you everybody to know, you received this payment freely the day you first believed. When you believed, you received it freely. And then I got up and on. And I walked out of the pulpit. You know what happened? You'd have two elders who outrun each other to get up here to let me know. I didn't say nothing about that. Yeah, belief's important. Belief only. I'm telling you this. Some leaders read words carefully. Make sure to leave the right impression. If something needs to be clarified before you leave it, clarify it. If not, do away with it. Be careful. There's been a lot of songs that great preachers of our day caught that I didn't even catch. I mean, when I catch something, it's big. Everybody caught it when I catch it. No, poetic license bothers me. Now, I do realize somebody may go back to the Old Testament and say, you know, they have poetic license. David said in sin, my mother did conceive me in Psalm 51. Yeah, he did. And what do you mean? I can get off on all that. But I'm just saying this. Every word we sing, we need all of you writers to write it the way the Bible wrote. Write the truth. And let's not follow just things just to make it match. Let's make sure it's true. Okay, I get off my high horse here. Go to John 14, verse 6. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus said the following. John 14, John 15, and John 16 are three chapters. If you have a red letter edition, it's almost every bit red. Jesus is talking to his apostles. He said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There you have it. You have the authority given from God to Jesus. And he said, if you would go to the Father, you come by me. In John 17, verse 20 and 21, I like this because Jesus, John 17 is a prayer. You have Jesus interacting with his apostles, John 14, John 15, and John 16, and in John 17, the three divisions. If you have a certain version, you just sit divided in three categories. Jesus prayed for himself. Now these divisions, put that right there, not by God. You'll see Jesus praying for himself. You'll see a second division where Jesus prayed for his apostles. And the third division where Jesus prayed for future disciples. That's me and you. And in John 17, verse 20, he prayed that the future disciples will have peace. When a congregation has aggressive work toward evangelism, reaching out to us, and they're really working hard, you know what? They don't have time to fuss and fight amongst each other. When you have peace, you talk peace, you have peace. You know, congregation, and I'm just using the record line because I'm here. I could use 21st Street if I was there, and I've used this many, many times, 21st Street. Let me tell you something. You can have a congregation full of peace and harmony. And you do that because every member of the church wants peace and harmony. It only takes one person to disturb that peace and harmony. One person. It could be a woman. It could be a man. It could be somebody just groaning over some insignificant detail. One person is all it takes. Y'all have those who wanted to pile on to help them out. You've also got a skeptic, and you got other people who care less whether they live or die. As far as that issue is concerned, if they didn't want that issue to go away, I want to tell you this. Don't you ever be that one person causing trouble in the church. You never, ever be that one person. If you got a fly in your ointment, come talk to the elders about it. They'll talk to you about it. Work it out, and it should never, ever be mentioned again. It can be private. I've had many conversations with people, me and them, one-on-one, about a problem they've viewed and thought maybe it'd be a problem. We've talked about it, we prayed about it, we studied about it, and it was never mentioned again. And you know what? The remainder of the body never going to think about it. That's what I'll be. When we're established by Bible authority, we need to follow 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10. Paul, he opened up this great letter of 1 Corinthians 1. And he said, you know what? I hear there be some divisions among you. He said, I believe it. I believe there is division among you. And he made it real clear that this is not the way it's supposed to be. Why don't you look at what he wrote in verse 10. I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. Do you speak the same thing today? Speak the same thing. There be no division among you if you divide it in any way today. Hey, I'm reading out the Lord's word here. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10. And that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Now that's not full. Same thing, no division, perfectly joined together, same mind and same judgment. If we utilize the authority of the scriptures toward having peace and harmony and unity in the church, we'll all stay with thus says the Lord. Now, we can go from 1 Corinthians 1 all the way through 1 Corinthians, all the way to 2 Corinthians, the very last chapter of 2 Corinthians. In other words, 29 chapters later. 1 Corinthians has 16 chapters. 2 Corinthians has 13 chapters. We're going to the very end. Don't you look at what Paul wrote here in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. He said, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove yourselves how Jesus Christ is in you except to be reprobate. And he furthermore said, know ye not your own selves. So here's the deal today. We need to examine ourselves, prove ourselves, know ourselves. When we examine ourselves, then we can prove ourselves, then we can know ourselves, unless we be reprobate. This word, learn a simple word, reprobate, means unable to pass the test. And if we would go by the authority of God's word, now not only would we have the peace and harmony, as mentioned in John 17, verse 1, we would be steadfast like we should be. Another passage I want to add here, now we're at right here. chapter 15 and verse 58. When Paul is summarizing the church of Corinth, he said, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, ought you be steadfast, unmovable, always abiding in the words of the Lord, for you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord." My dear friends, listen, when you put all these to test here, it brings to fruition. Point number 8 in the final list of verses, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 21. Now this passage teaches us to prove all things. We need to prove all things. Establish the right and the wrong and be able to prove it. And get away from, I think this or it might be that. Because that doesn't matter a lot. What matters is, what does the book, chapter, verse in the Bible teach? Well, in conclusion, I'm talking about those last 3 points. 2 Peter 2, verse 1, 1 John 4, 1, Revelation 2, 2. This is by false teachers, false prophets, false apostles. Did you know before the first century was over, there were people claiming to be modern-day apostles? And you go by the authority of the Word of God, and the Bible teaches they were tried, and they found them to be liars, in Revelation chapter 2. I want you today to be absolutely determined for this year of 2015 that I'm going to stand on the thus saith the Lord. If I've got an idea, it's not necessarily a good idea unless I can find book, chapter, and verse. You know, my kids used to come to me and say, "Dad, I got a good idea." Okay, I said, "Let me listen to it and then let me judge whether it's good or not." But I want to know if it's a good thing based on good Christian principles. And usually it was. We'll tell you something today. We have got false teachers today that have to be head on the Word of God. The more you know about the Bible, the less likely be that you will be ever be misled. Remember that Hebrews 5 passage, 12 to 14? If you read this, you can very good and evil. Brother McCain. Well, I love the quote. I mean, he just got some of the great one-liners. But Brother McCain, in his preaching, you know, I mentioned this morning that he said God is not interested in our creativity. He had a sermon he preaches to follow. He said, "Don't you learn to bloom where you are planted. Wherever you are, blossom right there." You don't have to have a lot of people to blossom. Bloom where you're planted. You may not be where you want to be in life at this point of time. But when we put these principles in about 5 or 6 other pages of the notes here, when we put all this together, we can bloom where we are planted. And we can do the very best we know how to hold forth to God. It's frightening to me when people allow themselves to watch TV more than they do the Bible. When people can tell you every ball player from football to baseball to basketball, I'm not against sports. I even enjoy sports. I even enjoy knowing the Cowboys winning out of my head. Then tell you what, that's not what's really important. What's really important is, thus saith the Lord. You know what, I've heard several families who become interested in trying to get good Bible games they can play by riding up the road on the way to New Year's Eve. I'll give you one example I thought was very unique. I thought it very unique. You know the book that Bill Ferguson put in on the right away question and answer column, If You Ask Me? You know, I know of some people who've been using that as a game. They read the question and they say, "How would you answer it?" And then people would answer it in the car, and then they read the answers that Ronnie gave and see if they coincide. Well, that's pretty good. That's a good way to use that book. You know, I've got to write a Bible trivia, a little Bible question and answer this way. Well, tell you what, living a Christian life should be an honor, such an honor, to learn, to appreciate. You know, there's many times Jesus' authority was questioned in the Bible. He wins every time. I'll freely admit to you, I'm not a strong study or of the book of Revelation. I can read it, but I hit chapter 5, I hit this dungeon, deep, dark. Can't get about 19 or something. I see the light at the end of the enjoy hearing it. But you know what? When you're studying Revelation, the one thing that is developed, God always wins. He always wins. Satan always loses. And there are different battles fought throughout this great book. God wins. The devil loses. God knows his will. And today, I want to plead this. If you can know God's will, study it hard. Make it part of your life. Feel like your day is partially spent if you're not ready to set it about. Listen a little bit of it. You're going to win. The devil's going to lose. The only time the devil is successful in gaining you is if you don't have the word of God there. The Bible says the word of God. The sword is the word of God. The sword is spirit in Christian armor. It's the word of God. Read the Bible. Study it. Let it be part of you. I mean, have it close to you. Have it in your purse. Have it in your glove box. Have it in your back pocket. Have it close. And you have opportunity to pull out the way you look forward. Gain a little sharpness here so you know the Bible. There's a lot more that one day, Lord willing, somewhere, we'll study more about how to establish Bible authority. But if we do not know how to establish Bible authority, we're not going to know how to use the sword. If we don't know how to use the sword, we'll be easy prey to them. If you're just to say that tonight or this afternoon, you're not ready to meet your maker, would you please get right? Get right now. I would assume there's water that back stream, but there's not. It won't take long to get it there. Or if you want to get cold river, you can find it. But you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins. You need to let the Lord have you for church. Don't think about baptism washing away sin or the remission of sin. That's one of them. You don't want to do that. But think about that's not the only thing that baptism does for you. Baptism opens up your prayer life to God. You can pray to God, to God the Father, and the high priest. Pray to the priest and hear the high priest. It opens up the prayer life. You can pray to God as a baptized believer. I'm sorry for my sins. You remember Acts 8 chapter when Simon sinned? Peter said, you need to repent. You need to pray to God. And Peter said, would you pray for me? I have no doubt that he did. Oh, there's so many benefits. The Lord, we are baptized, he's actually the church. We're in the Lord's church. There's many great benefits.